Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Angie's List.
With reviews on local contractors and doctors in 500 categories with ratings based only on member feedback.
Angie'sList.com. And
the Skoll Foundation, supporting social entrepreneurs and their innovations to solve the world's most pressing problems at skoll.org. And
Sit for Less, selling all colors of the Herman Miller Aeron chair online, including Sit for Less True Black. Online at sitforless.com.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, the Conclacta Tappet Brothers, broadcasting this week from the triumphant return department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Oh, this is big news.
Oh, it's rocked the world. I mean, this is even bigger than when Caesar came back and having defeated the Gauls in Vercingetorix. Are you ready for this?
Oh, be still my heart.
In 2013, Dodge is bringing back the venerable Dodge Dart.
Yippee!
now, you had a Dart that you loved for a number of years.
Yeah, it was a 63 convertible.
And you got it, when? 2003?
Exactly. I waited till it was broken in.
Broken down, more likely.
Broken down, yeah.
And as I recall, you drove it happily for several years.
Oh, yeah.
Until your son, Alex, sandwiched it between an ambulance and a snowplow.
Oh, the horror. The horror.
So now, of course, the question is pretty simple. Are you going to buy a new one of these darts?
Of course.
Really?
Yeah, once it's 30 years old.
Oh, okay, I got it. So you're going to buy a 2013 dart in like 2043. Is that right?
I'm making a note in my calendar right now.
Well, if you want to ask us about your Dodge Dart or anything else, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Deb. I'm calling from Palo Alto, California.
Hi, Deb from Palo Alto. What's going on?
Well, I have a 98 Toyota Camry, which I absolutely love, but there's like a jingling sound coming from the front right tire wheel. I don't know the right word. And it sounds like I threw my house keys in there, and they're jingling around.
Uh-huh.
I'm worried that my wheel's going to fall off.
You probably should be worried. And how long has it been making this jingling sound?
Unfortunately, it's been happening for about a year, and I haven't done anything about it.
Oh, you're right on top of this, huh?
Exactly.
And you get this jingling sound when you go over little bumps?
Exactly.
And during this year, have you not had your 98 Camry in for like an oil change or a checkup?
Every 3 months I go, and they never say anything. I don't ask.
Oh, you don't ask.
Oh, you don't ask.
Well, they're not going to hear the jingling when they pull it onto the oil, you know, the lift to change the oil, in all likelihood.
Okay.
So you haven't been concerned enough that a wheel's going to fall off that you actually...
Yeah, not concerned enough.
So what did it today? What pushed you over the edge today? It made you call us.
Well, it's starting to get to the point where I can hear it when the windows are rolled up, not just when they're rolled down.
Ah.
So I thought maybe now would be the time.
Yeah, I'm guessing a wheel is not going to fall off because in a year's time, it probably would have already. And
you never know.
Yeah, and your heirs would be calling wanting to know what the cause of death was likely to have been. So I'm guessing that it's something a lot more benign.
Okay, that's good.
And it sounds like it's a stabilizer link that's worn out.
Okay.
And the link is like a little ball joint or a little tie rod, and it's got a ball and socket joint. And when the thing wears out, it'll make this click-a-ding, kind of noise when you go over bumps.
Exactly what it is.
And it can
that's
sound
exactly
louder.
What it is. That's right.
And as it gets more worn out, it'll start sounding deeper. So instead of being it'll be and then a miracle will occur. The thing will break and the noise will go away.
Oh,
So you could wait until that happens.
If you wait long enough.
Yeah, if you wait long enough. But if you think there's a chance that your life may be in danger, because this could also be a ball joint or a thyroid end causing this noise, and there's some chance that there is some danger. So you should you should ask someone to investigate it. If it is the link, they'll know in 1 minute, and they'll replace it, and then you'll be able to hear all the other noises that your 98 Camry makes.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I'm a grad student, so how much is this going to cost? I don't have a lot of funds.
How close are you to finishing?
Well, I'm just started writing my useless dissertation.
Oh, so you're
It took me 7 years to do that.
So you're 5 years away from getting your degree then.
Exactly, about, yeah.
Yeah. It would be a shame to lose all that to a ball joint.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, we wouldn't lose you. And what's your degree going to be in?
Italian literature.
Really?
Italian literature.
Yeah.
Well, if we were literate, we'd probably be able to have an intelligent conversation with you.
Yeah, it's definitely not the most lucrative degree, but...
No. But the good news is you'll be able to spend time in Italy.
Yes, that is true.
And have you done that already? Of course you have.
I have for research, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's research.
Work.
Yeah, research.
I love it.
Have someone look at it, just to be on the safe side. We're guessing it's a stab link or stabilizer link, but it could be something more serious. Or it could be something even less serious. It could be a loose piece of sheet metal someplace.
Okay, and if I call it a stab link, will they give me a discount for knowing what I'm talking
about? Exactly. See, I think I have a bad stab link.
Okay.
And they'll say, what's that?
Good luck, Deb.
Awesome.
See you later.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, Tom and Ray. This is Larry calling from Simpsonville, South Carolina.
Hi, Larry.
South Carolina.
Simpsonville, huh?
Yeah.
We've been there.
I'm sure.
I've never even heard of it before.
What's going on, Larry?
Well, I've got a premarital autumn body question.
Oh.
Premarital. Well, that's good.
I figured I'd call you guys first.
Yeah, go for it. What's going on?
Well, I'll start off with the auto body part. In the colder months, I'll press down on the accelerator if the car's been sitting for a while, and it will not budge, and it will feel like there's a brick behind it. But, of course, I push a little harder, and it'll pop loose.
Oh, in other words, the accelerator doesn't want to move. The pedal doesn't want to move.
Yeah. It feels like there's a brick.
Is this a Toyota?
It is a Ford Focus.
Ford Focus. Really? How old?
2005, yeah.
2005. I'm pretty sure the 2005 Focus has an electronic throttle.
Okay.
So it could be that. So the pedal doesn't move at all, and you've checked that there's not an obstruction?
Yeah. Now, if I push just a little bit harder, it'll pop and it'll be good. The only thing is it'll lurch forward, which is a lot of fun, especially at a stoplight when you have a car in front of you.
Yeah. Or hot coffee in your hand.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
I was told that it was carbon buildup on, like, the throttle cable or something like that?
Well, I honestly don't know off the top of my head if this thing has an electronic throttle. I'm guessing it does.
Okay.
But the reason I asked you if you had a Toyota is that for years Camrys were famous for this, that there would be a buildup of carbon in the throttle, okay, and then when you tried to step on the gas pedal, you couldn't move the throttle because the throttle is attached to the gas pedal via a cable. And with the throttle stuck in that carbon, it wouldn't move, and you'd step on it harder and harder and harder, and finally it would pop loose.
Yeah.
And the thing would go spring ahead like yours does. So I'm guessing that you don't have an electronic throttle, because at some point they transitioned here. So I'm guessing yours is a cable-controlled throttle like the Camry, and you have a carbon buildup actually in the throttle body area, which is under the hood.
Okay.
So what you need to have somebody do is take apart the thing and clean it.
Well, here comes the premarital part.
I got a funny feeling that that's not the end of it, though.
Well, no, it's not a big deal, but here comes the premarital part.
Yeah.
I am in the process of preparing to pop the question.
Oh.
And obviously, I'm wanting to save as much money as possible, so I... Because, you know, rings are expensive.
Oh, I see.
No, actually, what's happening is I'm giving a ring that has been in the family for a long time.
Oh, you chiseler.
Hold on.
No, I did that too. I've never heard the end of it.
The good thing is she knows about it.
Yeah, so she knew about it too. My wife knew about it too, and I know. Well, go ahead.
You were a cheapskate.
Well, I want to save money for any repairs or resetting that may need to be done. I wanted to see what would be the least expensive way of getting this work done on my car.
Well, so you might be able to incorporate this problem that your car is having with your marriage proposal.
Okay.
So you should take your intended out for a ride some morning, because this must do it first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Right, when you know it's going to misbehave.
Uh-huh.
And you should have it do its thing.
Yeah.
And say,
okay.
And say, see that pop? Well, that leads me to the next thing. I want to pop the question.
Yeah.
So you could try that, and then you may be able to, you know, introduce that old ring. So whose ring was this?
This ring belonged to my grandmother's aunt.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, I'm proud of it.
No.
You had to go away to get that thing. Come on.
All I can say about that is good luck with that, Larry. I know how it's worked for me all these years, and it always manages to come up at some inopportune times. You know,
deserve it.
No,
though.
Oftentimes when we're in a jewelry store, my wife will say, "Wow, that's a beautiful ring." You know, and then she will, without her thinking that I'm noticing, she will look at her ring.
Yeah,
and I can see the wheels turn. She said, "Cheap, no
son
good,
of a
God. Son of a."
Oh my!
Yeah, so I just want to warn you. The car problem is easily fixed, but the second-hand ring from a third grandmother twice removed may not be quite the thing. But you can always use this as an interim ring.
Right.
You know, this is just an engagement ring, and then you can wow her with a wedding ring or another ring. Say, look at hon, I realize that was my third aunt twice removed on my grandmother's side, the one that we don't speak to anymore. And you can then get her a real ring once you are financially secure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think you should take this thing to your repair shop and ask them to clean your throttle, because that's what's wrong. And
the car or the ring?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Just start with the car.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, good luck, Larry. I hope we didn't give you too hard a time.
No, you're good.
No. Okay. See you later, man.
Okay.
Bye. Yeah, no. Well, my wife, like I said, my wife has reminded me of it in very subtle ways.
Oh.
You know, like, oh, that's a nice ring, and, you know, oh, look at her ring. And it's just, you know, I paid for the setting.
Wonderful.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. Just kidding about all this, dear.
Yeah, sure.
Hello, hey, who's this?
Hey, guys. This is Jane from Charlotte, North Carolina. How are you all today?
Hi, Jane.
Jane, how are you?
Doing great. Well, first of all...
Are you married, Jane?
Yes, I am.
Did you get a second-hand hand-me-down...
No. Got a brand new one.
Would it have been all right with you to have gotten a hand-me-down ring?
It would have if it had been clean and, you know, if it had fit, if it didn't come out of a Cracker Jack box.
Yeah. So it would have been, well, you know, so diamonds get cut differently nowadays.
Yes, they do.
You know, and they have much more glitter. So my wife has said from time to time that her ring is rather dull.
Well, but you know, sometimes a lot of them have a lot of little bitty diamonds instead of a big diamond.
No, she didn't get any
bigger.
Of that.
No.
Uh-huh.
Diamond dust. Anyway, enough about diamonds. What's on your mind today,
well,
Jane?
Well, first I was going to tell you, I did have a Dodge Dart.
You did?
Oh.
Yes, back in the early 70s. Now, that's not the problem today. Anyway, now that it's colder, even though, like the guy right before us just said, in South Carolina, it doesn't get very cold, but
no.
My car has a problem because my front passenger window will not close all the way.
Huh.
You know, it's automatic windows, and so when I pull the button to close the window, it'll go about 98% of the way.
And then it reverses?
No, it doesn't reverse. It'll stop right there, and then, say, maybe 15 minutes later, if I pull the button again, it'll go up another quarter of an inch. And then maybe 2 hours later, I'll get it to go up the rest of the way and go ahead and get seated all the way in.
Yeah, so what are you calling us for?
Tommy's windows don't go up at all. What is this car you're driving, Jane?
It's a 2004 Honda CR-V. And I'll tell you this, several years ago it was struck by lightning on that side of the car.
Ah.
And I'm wondering if this could be related to the lightning strike.
Could be. My guess is your window regulator is probably binding up. The window regulator is the mechanism that the window is attached to that is driven by the electric motor.
Okay.
Okay, and it's possible you might get off with just a little bit of lubrication. Somebody might have to take the door apart and see what's going on in there. Maybe you have a rivet that's broken, or maybe it's just all gummed up and the ways need to be cleaned and lubricated.
Okay, so I shouldn't get some oil and squirt it down in the window, huh?
You can do that.
Oh,
you can do
okay.
that, but it's messy.
Okay.
We usually use silicone spray.
Okay.
But usually the problem is not there. It's not in the upper areas where the window is going in that channel.
It's further down inside.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
And if you were to hold that button up, then you would probably just melt the motor, and you'd have to buy a whole new thing.
Yes.
You don't want that to work.
That's a thing to do.
It might be.
And then I'll go buy a Dodge Dart. How about that?
Well, there you go. Yeah, you got another year to wait, so don't rush yet.
Okay.
All righty.
Okay, guys. Well, thanks. I'll give that a try.
By the way, how did you enjoy your Dodge Dart when you had it in the 70s?
Well, I enjoyed it until the one day I was backing out of the carport, and I turned just a little too fast. And I hit the post in the carport and just about knocked the carport off the house.
Oh, so the car was too wide for you. Well, the CRV's just about the right width. It's perfect.
Oh, the CRV's perfect. Now, mine, the back door opens from the left to the right, and I want it to open from the right to the left. But I think the newer ones open up.
Well, you know, they should make those gates like refrigerators. You know, you buy a refrigerator, you can flip it.
Exactly. They should.
They should. We'll get right on that.
Yes, we'll tell them. Okay, guys.
Good luck with your window, Jane.
Okay, thanks so much.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Think hard.
Oh.
Do you remember last week's puzzler?
Oh, come on. That's such an open-ended question. Can't you make it like multiple choice or something?
All right. Here are your choices. You ready?
Yeah.
A, yes, I remember the puzzler. Or B, no, I'm a knucklehead.
I'll take B.
I thought so. But it was a geographical puzzler about a guy driving from state to state, and we'll have the answer along with more of your calls in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
I've got a strange degree. Candy apple ready for a magic reel. Got a beauty around the corner. It's a magic reel. The candy apple ready for a
hey, 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 hey.
Look at me go, yeah.
When I shove it in the Lord,
hey, man, I really go.
When I go to check a deal,
well, then I really tell.
When I shove it in the Lord,
hey, man, I really fly. Hey, 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 look at me go.
I got a pig carburetor. Got a three water can. Got a fuel and then.
Got a pile of lies and then I'm moving well.
That's in my state, it feels the candy apple ready for a
hey, that's my mama, I say.
It feels the candy apple ready for a
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes to our new green car wash service, which we admit looks a bit like a bunch of teenagers with a garden hose and some bars of Irish Spring from NPR, NPR member stations, and
Esurance, an Allstate company offering mobile apps and 24/7 help online or over the phone. Learn more at esurance.com. And
the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And
the Charles Hotel in Harvard Square, whose Corbu Spa and Salon offers a French-inspired treatment menu. Learn more at corbuspa.com.
And even though Terry Gross wonders if she could still fit into her TGI Fridays uniform whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for Car Talk comes from Nashville Public Radio listener members, from the Bridgestone America's Trust Fund, with a reminder to inflate, rotate, and evaluate your tires. Information on tire safety is available online at tiresafety.com. And the Andrews Institute for Civic Leadership at Lipscomb University, offering a master's degree in civic leadership. An information session will be held Monday, January 30th. Details are available online at civicleadership.lipscomb.edu.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzle, which I got to admit, I forgot at one point during the week.
I was going to just interrupt you because I think people should know that the other day my brother says to me, what was last week's puzzle? I said, wait, it's too early for you to ask me that. And he said, no, I don't remember.
I didn't. And who do I call? I call my knucklehead brother. I mean, I could have called anyone else. Why would I call you? Anyway, this is submitted by a fellow named Dennis Michaud from a local outfit called MathWorks. And I describe it as a geomathematical puzzler. And here it is. The company that Bobo works for just finished a new product, and they wanted to promote it across the country. So Bobo was asked to travel by car to each of the 48 contiguous U.S. states, i.e. the lower 48, to promote the product. He was told that he could visit each state in whatever order he chose, but the company wanted him to start in Delaware at their headquarters, naturally. And, you know, they're one of those sleazy companies that's incorporated in Delaware where there are no laws. Anyway, they also asked that he visit each state only once. You got it? He can't go back.
Uh-huh.
So Bobo sat down at his desk and began to plan his trip. He was playing around with various routes he could take, and at that moment, his boss stopped by and said, hey, I'm going to join you when you reach your last state. I was born there, and I've been looking for an excuse to go back and visit. You can leave your rental car there, and I'll fly you back in my private jet. Bobo says, great, trying to cover up the fact that even he hadn't figured out his route yet, and he had no idea how his boss knew it. So the question is, how did his boss know which state Bobo would end his trip in and which state is it? He's starting off in Delaware. He hits every state, but every state only once.
Yeah, this is a good one, man.
And he winds up in the one state that borders only one other state. So if you were to go into this state at any other time...
I know what it is.
You couldn't get out.
Alabama.
You couldn't be, you almost couldn't be farther away. They wind up in the great state of Maine, which only borders New Hampshire and, of course, Canada.
In the Atlantic Ocean.
Now, who's our winner, Tommy?
The winner is Pam Clayton from Monroe Township, New Jersey. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Pam is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com. And there, she can get a copy of our CD, Maternal Combustion, Calls About Moms and Cars, featuring, among other stars, my mother.
Your mother's on this CD?
Yeah.
So's my mother. I mean, what are the chances of that?
This is a collection of calls that all relate to mothers, child-rearing, escaping from the scourge of the minivan.
In other words, everything the modern mother faces today.
Exactly.
Sounds like a deal to me. Anyway, we have a new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stay tuned for that. But right now, if you've got a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, how you doing? This is Josh from Boise, Idaho.
Josh. What's happening, man?
I have a 2010 Ford Fusion, and I ripped it apart, basically, the
great
interior. And
yeah.
After I put it back together, which I finally did, I have a handful of parts left over. Should I worry about it, or
what did you
take it to the dealer?
No. We're gonna straighten this out right on the phone here.
okay.
How many pieces have you got?
Probably about half a dozen.
Are they mostly fasteners or you know, nuts,
yeah,
bolts? Yeah, things like
probably
that?
Probably mostly fasteners, a few nuts and bolts, and a few screws.
Well,
now,
what could you have taken apart on a 2010? The car's brand new. What did you do?
I was afraid you were going to ask this.
Oh, you knew we were going to ask.
Okay. I was picking up a present from my son, and I was in the car, and I lost my son's present in the car. My son's present happened to be a boa constrictor. Yeah, and I might add, this Ford Fusion is not my car, it's my wife's.
Oh, boy.
Blame her, then.
No, I would have just parked the car, and it would have said nothing about anything. So this is obviously a miniature boa constrictor?
Well, it is a baby.
It's a baby, but it's going to become a full-size boa constrictor.
Yeah, eventually.
So you took the seats out?
I took the seats out. I took the middle console out. I took everything I possibly could unfasten out. I pulled up the carpet. I've done everything.
Josh. What? So was this boa constrictor in some kind of a trap or a bag or something?
Against my better judgment, I had an aquarium, but I thought, I just want to hang on to him. He's kind of cool. I'll just drive with him. And
so you were driving with the boa constrictor on your lap.
Well,
what are you, nuts?
He was in my hand. He was in my hand, but here's the funny thing. Personally, I drive a 540 BMW,
uh-huh.
And I thought to myself, I'm going into town. I don't want to get it dinged up and whatnot. I'll take the wife's car.
You're right.
And of all the cases, I lose it in hers. I mean,
oh, yeah. Boy. So did you ultimately find the snake?
Well, yes and no. A couple days later, because it was my son's present and everything, I ordered another snake. I get that snake, so I have a new boa constrictor.
Did you get the opposite gender?
No, I think it's the same.
The same.
But a week and a half later, after driving the car around, we pulled into a parking spot, and my wife got out of the car and promptly let me know that there was something sticking out of the defrost.
Oh,
and, sure
boy.
Enough, there he was. His head was sticking out of the defrost.
So he got into the ductwork.
Yeah.
So he was still alive, obviously.
He was. I'm surprised because it's been pretty cold up here.
Oh, no, they're tough. And he must have been angry and hungry. So did you manage to lure him out?
I got a screwdriver and I just quickly popped the vent and threw my hand back in there as best I could to grab him and just barely was able to grab him and pull him out.
I hate snakes. So you got him out. So obviously you're a snake person.
Well, not really. I was more fearful of my wife, I think, than the snake at this point.
Ah,
I just figured I had to get the
snake. Was the lesser of the two evils.
Exactly. Exactly.
Josh. So now you have, here's our only concern, I think, that some of the bolts that you didn't put back were bolts that were holding the seats in.
The seats I got secured definitely okay.
Yeah.
Most of the pieces now are just, well, to be honest with you, I'm not sure where they came from because I was taking things apart left and right trying to find it. So for the most part, like I said, I just have about half a dozen pieces, screws and fasteners, like you said. But trying to get some of those fasteners, I don't know how. It's almost like they're meant to be put on once and that's it.
Well, a lot of them are, in fact. I think I feel pretty confident in saying that the pieces you omitted in your reassembly were probably for the console.
Okay, yeah, pretty much.
You know, so that'll just start to rattle after a while, and this will be your punishment because your wife is going to say, this thing sounds like a piece of junk. I want a new car.
I think this is probably going to be my car, and she's going to wind up with the BMW now. So,
what you deserved, you fool.
I guess so.
So you're driving the Fusion, and she's driving your Beamer. Isn't that good?
That's right.
Well, here's the important question. Does your son enjoy the snake?
Yeah, he does. But the funny thing about it was, while I was tearing the car apart, he came out and wanted to know what I was doing.
Oh.
But I didn't want to tell him, but after about 4 hours, I finally said, when he came again and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking for your present. Get in here and help me.
Boy.
Well, good luck. And next time you take something apart, try to be a little more organized.
I will.
All right.
I will.
Good luck, man.
Thanks,
yeah,
guys.
Good luck is
right. Boy, oh, boy. And let us know what happens when the snakes get bigger.
Okay, yeah.
Don't boa constrictors, like, wrap around the
victims? No, I don't want to talk about it.
And squeeze them to death.
Yes, that's true, yep.
All right.
I do.
Okay, well, good luck with that. Anyway, see you
later. All right,
thanks. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Amber in Nashville.
Hi, Amber in Nashville. How are you?
Amber.
How are you?
Great. What's going on?
I have a 1999 C230 Mercedes with a compressor engine.
Yes.
And Sunday afternoon, I was running errands with my mother, and out of nowhere, the car starts making this very strange, almost like a sound check audio feedback noise.
What?
Comes in and out. She swears it's on the passenger side. I swear it's on the driver's side.
Like a high-pitched whistle?
Yes.
Can you make the noise?
Oh, so you can embarrass yourself. I mean, yeah. You know, we don't want to be the only ones who embarrass ourselves every week. We like some company.
Yeah, come on.
It sounds a little something like, you know, it kind of comes and goes.
That's good.
Oh, that was very good.
That's very good. So how long does it last when it comes?
Maybe a few seconds, and then it comes back a few seconds later.
And is it like when you turn the steering wheel or when you step on the brake? When does it happen?
There's variables. It's never the brake, the acceleration. It just sort of comes and goes as it
comes
pleases.
And goes.
So you thought all this information about the fact that it's, you know, it's got a turbocharger and all this and it's a Mercedes would be relevant, but I don't think it is.
Okay.
It sounds to me like it's a bad bearing in your blower motor for your heater or air conditioner, and it will make exactly that kind of sound, and it would sound like it's coming from inside the dashboard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is that what it sounds like?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So I'm guessing you have a blower motor that's starting to seize up. Your vehicle's the right age.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Tommy's blower motor seized. Not the one in his car. His own blower motor seized up the other day. And it would make just that kind of sound, and it would be intermittent.
Yes.
When it's doing it, you might be able to get it to go away if you catch it, you know, kind of mid-stride. You might be able to change the blower speed. And if you do that, you might be able to get it to get worse for a split second or maybe just
or
go
better.
Away. Or better, right.
Yeah.
I'll try. Thanks, guys.
It's only going to cost you $1,200 to fix it, but...
Oh, no!
No, don't worry. It won't be much.
Okay.
You'll be able to live with the noise. See you later.
Yeah.
Bye.
I'll turn up the radio.
There you go.
You got it.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
See, if those kinds of problems bothered me, I'd be in big trouble.
Oh, you'd be staying home. You'd be afraid to leave the house. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Crash in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Crash, huh?
Perfect.
Perfect is right.
No, it's not related to an automobile. It's an old baseball nickname that I got long before Kevin Costner made it famous in the movie.
Uh-huh.
Crash Davis, yeah.
That's right, but I had my nickname years before that.
So what did you do to earn this name?
Well, I was a shortstop in high school, and a batter, three pitches in a row, hit a foul ball past third base into the stands, and I crashed three times consecutively into the wall trying to catch it. And then when I came back in the dugout, the guy started calling me Crash, and it's stuck ever since. My parents still call me Crash.
Really?
That's good.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Okay, thanks for calling. See you later.
So what's cooking, Crash?
Well, I've got a 1979 MG Midget.
Oh.
It's got 49,000 actual miles on it. I absolutely love the car. It has run perfectly since I acquired it. However, recently, the turning signals have gone cuckoo. they used to just go tick-two, 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 tick-two. And now they go tick two, tick two, tick two, tick two, tick two.
This is when you're turning left or right.
Yeah.
And both. Doesn't matter.
Both. Yeah.
I was going to bring it to there's a guy that just works on MGs here, but the problem is he doesn't think MG stands for Morris's Garage. He thinks it stands for Money Glut.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, many grand.
Yeah, so I thought I'd call you guys instead. Maybe you can help me out, and I can do this myself.
Well, if you look under the dash, and I believe it's under the dash in this thing, you will find the directional flasher. And you don't even have to find it. You'll hear it. When you turn on the directionals, you can stick your head under the dash and feel around, and you'll feel the thing that's going tick, 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 tick when you turn on the directionals. And that's what's faulty, I think. I think you just need a new directional flasher.
Well, that's great advice. Now, let me ask you, though, because it's Lucas Electrics, I would think, I don't stand a chance of getting electrocuted if I do this.
No, not at all. No, there's hardly any electricity under there that's worth worrying about.
Ah, perfect.
Yeah, we had this.
Okay.
I'll tell you a little story with my brother's 52 MG. He pulled it into the garage one day. And he said, I have to get a sticker, and I think I have a few things that don't work. You know, my heater, my lights, my radio, my wipers and that whatnot. So we found that the thing only had a few fuses, and we found a fuse that was blown, and we replaced it, and it fixed about 9 out of the 10 things that were wrong. And I said, look, don't even shut it off. Go right to the inspection place, get your sticker, and stop bothering me. So off he goes. and comes back, you know, I don't know, 20 minutes later, with his inspection sticker, and he says, yippee, I got the sticker, but I have one problem. I can't turn the thing off. Remember this?
I do remember this.
And I said, what do you mean? I said, go ahead. I said, go ahead, turn it off. He said, no, I can't turn it off.
Turn it off.
I turned the key off, but the engine keeps running. And I said, well, that's impossible. I said, what could we possibly have done? So I go under the dash, and there are a bunch of wires that are emanating from the ignition switch. And I said, well, we got to turn it off before we can start looking at things because the fumes are going to kill us. And I cut one of the wires. Doesn't shut off. I cut another wire. Doesn't shut off. To make a long story short, I think there were five wires coming out of the switch. I cut every one of them.
And it didn't shut off.
And the reason it hadn't shut off, in fact, was that I had, in replacing the blown fuse, I had put, it had the old-fashioned glass fuses, which we haven't used since the God knows when. And I put one in that was a little bit too long. And it was touching another fuse, and as such, energizing the ignition circuit. You know, because
I forgot all about this.
Yeah, and it was drawing current from an adjacent circuit because it should have been independent, but it was feeding off of that. And of course, all I had to do was nudge that thing over a 16th of an inch and fix the five wires that I cut, and he was all set. Anyway, you won't get electrocuted. Have some fun.
Okay, thanks very much.
All right, and drive carefully.
I will.
See you, Crash. Bye-bye. Hey, look, before we get to the new puzzler, and I know you can't wait, we have to take a short break.
I think most listeners would prefer that we take a long break.
Sure they would, but it's not happening. But look, when we come back, I'll have this week's brand new puzzler, which is from my What's Next in the Series.
Oh.
So stay tuned for that and more of your calls. We'll be back in a minute.
Hiding in my brother's car.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from our new virtual muffleroscopy, recommended annually for all vehicles over 50K from NPR, NPR member stations, and
the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, committed to helping Americans lead healthier lives and get the care they need, on the web at rwjf.org. And
the Poetry Foundation, celebrating 100 years of Poetry magazine, online at poetryfoundation.org. And
the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org.
And even though endangered species say, you know, on second thought, take me off that protected list whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and as promised, the new Puzzler.
I can hardly wait.
Well, you hardly have to. Here it is, and this was sent in by Mark Rouleau, who has sent Puzzlers to us before.
Yeah.
And it's nice and short and sweet. Okay, so I'm going to just
go.
I'm not going to, belabor it. I'm not going to go through a lot of explanation detail. I'm just going to get right into the Puzzler. Just,
Well, just do it, will you? Will you stop talking and just do it?
All right, I'm going to get right to it. You'll see.
Yeah, sure. Tomorrow.
I'm going to give you a list of numbers. And, now I did mention this is from my, What's Next in the series. So this is a series of numbers.
Yep.
And then I'm going to ask you, what's the next number in the series?
Okay. Good.
And that's the puzzle. So here, you ready? Write these down.
Yeah.
4, 6,
yeah.
12, 18, 30, 42, 60, and then
what?
Blank.
And then what?
And then what? Exactly right.
Yeah.
Now, I should give a hint or two. You may notice that all the numbers I gave you are even numbers.
Yes, they are.
That might be a hint. And the number that I'm looking for is probably an even number too. And it is. That's a hint, right?
Number two? Is that what you said?
No. It as well. It's an even number as well. And I'm going to give you another hint.
Oh.
I'm going to give you the number after the number I'm looking for.
Oh.
So you have 4, 6, 12, 18, 30, 42, 60, blank. And the next number.
After the blank
is 102.
Wow. Okay.
And I'm going to, and that's pretty much, I'll give one more hint. It's hard.
Oh.
Well, it's a little harder. And, once you get, I can't give you any more numbers because then it might prove to be too easy.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to get right to work on this.
I'm sure you are if you don't forget about it in the next 30 seconds. Now, look, if you think you know the answer, run it on a Honda HS1336i hybrid snowblower with an IGX 390 four-stroke overhead valve engine and two electric motors for powering the left and right snow treads. 36-inch clearing path, 23-inch high chute, carburetor warming heater, decelerating electric regeneration system, and self-diagnostics, and send it along with a flask of Bosch Gabrielsen brandy to Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
Yes, you can. And if you have a question for us now, give us a call. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I'm calling from Alexandria, Virginia.
Sarah,
you
with
must
an H?
Have an H, yeah.
Yep, with an H.
Yes, yeah. Even I knew that. I don't know how I knew it, but I knew it.
Where'd you say you were from?
Alexandria, Virginia.
Got it.
Okay.
What's up, Sarah?
Well, my boyfriend has a 2003 VW Passat, and every time we turn the heater on, there's the smell of exhaust in the car, like gasoline fumes, and it's really gross. And now that it's cold again, we always have to take my car when we go places. And so we have to get this fixed because it's just not fair that we always have to take my car.
Really? Is it raw gasoline you're smelling or is it exhaust?
It smells like fumes, like exhaust fumes. And it's usually after the car's been on a while, like 25 or 30 minutes or so.
Oh, so you don't get the smell.
You don't get it when you first start it up.
No.
So even if the heater is on.
Right, even if the heater's on, it takes a little while. And usually we can also smell it if you stand outside the passenger door, if we stop the car to, get gas or, get out of the car for some reason, you can kind of smell it outside, too.
Have you found yourself, getting, really slurred speech after a while? And Sharon, your thought processes slow down?
Hi, my name is Sarah.
I always roll down the windows or, turn off the heater, and we just freeze.
Oh, good idea. You'll minimize brain cell loss considerably. No, it seems pretty clear that you have an exhaust leak. And
okay.
What you're smelling, in fact, is pre-converted exhaust. In other words, the exhaust that leaves the engine makes its way through the exhaust system and ultimately out the tailpipe. But before it does that, it passes through the catalytic converter. But your exhaust leak, I'm guessing, is way up front, and that exhaust is kind of dirty exhaust before it's had a chance to get converted or catalyzed. And that's why you can smell it I think if you were to sniff the tailpipe, I don't recommend you do that unless you're a dog. But if you were to sniff the tailpipe, it would smell a lot different and a lot better.
Okay.
Maybe you have a cracked manifold or a bad gasket, bad manifold gasket, or a bad connection between the front pipe and the manifold.
Good. I'm so glad we have an answer now.
So does he not smell this? Are you the only one that smells it, or does he smell it too?
He does, but I guess he just doesn't care, because sometimes we take my car, and then when he's alone in the car, he just kind of doesn't mind that he's cold.
Oh, so he doesn't turn on the heat when he drives it?
He'll turn it on, and when it starts to smell, he'll turn it off, and then kind of wait a little while, and then maybe turn it on a bit and turn it off again. And
see, I think not only are the fumes a concern, it's the carbon monoxide that obviously is a concern.
Okay.
And if you think he's getting stupider and stupider, he probably is. So tell him to act, and this is the season now, Sarah, where you're going to have the windows closed all the time and the heat on.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you're going to act now.
And he's going to get stupider and stupider.
What happened to my brother?
It happened to me.
Good luck, Sarah.
Thank you very much. It was great to talk to you.
Thanks for your call.
All right.
Bye-bye. Oh, boy. 888.
Oh, yeah.
Car Talk. That's... Well, you know, it's easy to ignore something like this because
it
doesn't alter the way the car runs. And you say, well, it stinks a little bit. And it's kind of like what happened.
And everything else is perfect.
Everything else is perfect, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like you're, no.
888-CAR-TALK.
That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Michael from Dallas, Texas.
Hey, Michael from Dallas, Texas. What's up, man?
Hey, I've got a 2007 Nissan Sentra with 107,000 miles on it.
Wow.
And between the speeds of 40 and 55, my passenger side seat begins to shake violently, as if it's trying to leave the car.
Really?
Really.
The passenger side seat,
mm-hmm.
and you know this, does it shake whether there's someone in it or not?
The passenger can feel the vibration if they're sitting in it.
And what if no one's sitting in it?
It shakes pretty violently.
And you don't feel any vibration in the driver's seat?
Not in the driver's seat, but I think I can feel it coming through the steering wheel.
Yeah. Well, if you were taking it any place to have someone look at it, because this has the potential to be dangerous.
Yeah, that's why I called Joe.
Well, that's why you called. Oh, you called us first because we're free.
Well, we're telling you to go see someone else.
Okay.
Is it accompanied by any noise or it's just a vibration?
Yeah, it's a coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo.
Jesus, now you tell us? Oh,
coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo.
Well, it sounds like you have a bad axle.
A bad axle.
Does the noise sound like it's coming from up front?
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it's coming from the front.
Oh, yeah, and it's coming, I'm going to guess, from that right front axle.
Okay.
Because the joint in it is bad, and the whole axle is vibrating. And I'm surprised that you don't actually feel it all over the car. But I'm guessing you'd feel it worse in the right front.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get it fixed, you're going to say, oh, this rides like a brand new car again.
Right.
So what's going to happen someday soon? How many miles did you say? 107,000?
107.
107. Yep. Well, you might make it to 110. that axle,
I wouldn't
count on that. That axle is going to break one of these days very soon.
Okay.
Now, the other possibility is that the axle nut is loose.
What if I told you I recently had to get my wheel bearing hub replaced because it was cracked?
Really? And this, that is, you're with, Michael, you already got two 15-yard penalties for withholding vital information. So did the noise post-date the repair or pre-date the repair?
Post and pre-date.
Oh, so
yeah,
it didn't, it was there.
It didn't make any difference.
And did these guys who did the bearing and the hub,
mm-hmm.
did they hear the noise post and pre?
No. They didn't get it, I guess, to the proper speed, but they said this would fix the problem.
Oh, so they they were close.
Mm-hmm.
They were close to fixing it because the part that needs to be replaced is about 4 inches from the part they replaced. So I here's what you should tell them,
okay.
And they should do it at their expense. They should buy for you a rebuilt axle.
Okay.
And at no charge to you, they should install it.
Okay.
If, in fact, it fixes the problem... it's pretty clear that you didn't need the other thing that they replaced, the hub.
Okay.
And at the very least, that they should agree to either give you the whole shebang for free or to charge you just for the part.
All right. That sounds
good. But under no circumstances, if this fixes it, should you be responsible for paying for part and labor.
Okay.
And if it doesn't work, they can take it out and put it back in the box and send it back. I mean, it's not like it's been damaged by installing it.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. See ya.
All right. Bye.
Bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. It's Molly calling from Neenah, Wisconsin.
Hi, Molly.
From Neenah? What?
Neenah. We're about 30 miles south of Green Bay.
Oh.
Is it N-I-N-A?
No, not even close. Oh, guys, it's N-E-E-N-A-H. It's an Indian word.
Neenah.
Don't ask me what it means, though.
Neenah.
It was one of the ships that Columbus sailed. The Neenah, the Pinta, the Santa Maria.
Of course.
Right? These guys just got the spelling screwed up. You didn't know he sailed all the way to Wisconsin,
wow,
did you?
That's good. Yeah. Well, thanks for calling, Molly. Get rid of her.
So what's up?
All right. Well, I have a unique problem, and I need your advice.
All right.
I have a 15-and-a-half-year-old daughter.
Okay.
She had her temporary license for 1 week, drove our 2007 Honda Element into the driveway, and mistook the gas for the brake. She went through one of our garage doors and into my little Scion XB in the garage. Okay, so now we have accordion
garage door. Two smashed up cars
and three deductibles.
Yeah.
So airbag didn't deploy. She's a very smart girl. I mean, she's a great kid. But anyway, we give her a week break.
Yeah.
Now her problem is that every time we go out driving and we get close to the house and she sees that garage door looming in the distance,
she freezes up.
She does. And she creeps in ever so slowly, like a 95-year-old grandma coming in the driveway. And she literally can't get much further than the sidewalk into the driveway. She gets so scared.
So she now has a mental block.
So I need some advice. What can I tell her to encourage her to drive safely and carefully into the driveway?
Tommy has a mental block. It's sitting on his shoulders. You know, she's going to have to do it blindfolded, I think.
That would be good. Yeah.
Well, I've tried using words like brake instead of stop, because stop to me means immediate and it means panic.
No, you know what the impediment is here? It's you. Because every time now that she's pulling into the driveway, you're in the passenger seat.
Oh.
Tell the truth now, Molly. When this happened, did you have a full-blown nutty?
Well, my
yelling and screaming.
Well,
it's
no,
just the three of us here. You don't have. There's no one else listening. You can,
okay? She screamed, which was followed by me screaming, and she was so beside herself she couldn't even put the car in park. So I did that and got her out of the car. But I will admit, I was just as flipped out as she was.
Yeah, so you flipped out, and she doesn't want a repeat of that.
No, me flipping out for sure, she doesn't want a repeat of that.
So I think you need a designated coach.
How about her 13-year-old sister?
Perfect.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
I think they would do well together.
Yeah, maybe throw a couple of 9-year-olds in the back seat having a fight. Enough of a distraction. Yeah, no, she needs to regain her self-confidence. And she does all right other than that when she's on the street?
Yes, generally speaking, she does.
Does she have any other issues like this where she mistakes left for right or...
No, but the first question she did ask me when we got in the car to drive the first time, she adjusted all the mirrors, and then her question was, now I just want to check, which one is the brake again? I was a little concerned from the get-go, but honestly, she really did okay, but I think driving just stresses her. She's not interested in driving so much.
Also, do you think you have maybe pushed her to drive too early?
That's likely.
Is there any compelling reason for her to drive at this age? I mean, can she wait until she's like, I don't know, 35?
30, yeah. Our insurance could totally wait until she's 35.
Yeah, I mean, so it may be
or
that she's
even
just,
18.
You know, I think that would be reasonable. That we told her she can take as much time as she needs to get her license.
Yeah.
She's going to need a lot of practice past the age of 16, I think, too.
Oh, I have an even better idea. Why doesn't she pull into one of the neighbor's driveways?
Which neighbor? I'll think about
Well, the
which
one you like the least. Yeah, but I think it may be not a bad idea for her to take some time off.
Okay.
Or at the very least, if she is going to drive and she has trouble differentiating between the gas and the brake, she should maybe do it on the side streets and not right in your driveway.
Maybe in front of a mattress factory.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe some fruit and vegetable stands at the farmer's market. Who knows? Make it exciting. But she needs to, I think she maybe needs a little break.
Okay.
And then she needs to drive not in your driveway very much. And then she especially needs to drive without you in the car.
I'm going to be sweating at home just thinking about that.
Oh, yeah. No, it's better you don't even know when she's driving. When you go out someplace to do something, she'll take the car and go with somebody else.
Fair enough.
All right. Good luck, Molly.
Thank you so much.
Try to stay cool.
Will do.
Bye-bye. See ya. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. It's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Kira McKnight. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the San Francisco, Chris Nabisco, Peruvian Pisco, Baked with Crisco, Free Lunch Disco, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our marriage counselor is Marion Haste. Our TSA screener is Pat Matukas. Our assertiveness training coach is Lois Steem. The manager of our employee refrigerator is Carmen Dating. Tom's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the dumb pedestrians with smartphones in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1203, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, personal puzzler delivery.
Yeah, I mean, you can sign up and have the puzzler electronically delivered to your inbox every Monday.
Oh, do you have to pay for that?
Oh, no, of course not. It's free.
What if you want to have it stopped?
Now, that runs into money. Sign up for our free weekly puzzler email anytime over at cartalk.com.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Esurance, offering tools to help guide customers through the car insurance process from quote to claim. Learn more at esurance.com. And
the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world. On the web at hewlett.org.
And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at gatesfoundation.org. And
the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program, towing away your car and selling it to support your NPR station, with your permission, of course. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Tom Brady heaves his radio 80 yards in a perfect spiral whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML, Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS, Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.